The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. Britain has had only one general strike. It happened in 1929, and it didn't spread to the Isle of Man. But we have no reason to feel left out. We have had two general strikes, one in 1918 and one in 1935. And I am happy to say that it was the island's put-upon working class that pretty much won the day in both. The 1918 strike was also known as the bread strike. It was sparked off by high bread prices, and a knock-on effect was the imposition of income tax in the island for the first time. In the summer of 1918, the First World War was still raging, and to keep the price of bread down in the island, the Manx government was subsidising the cost of flour. But in June, the Lieutenant Governor, Lord Raglan, who embodied the supreme control by London over Manx affairs, decided to abolish the subsidy, which resulted in Manx bakers saying that the cost of a loaf would have to go up by a shilling. A lot of money back then. His Lordship may have thought that the Manx people, with their reputation for docility and deference to high authority, would submit meekly. But he could not have been more wrong. The ordinary, lowly paid people of the island not only decided to stop work, they cut up very rough indeed. But we will come back to that. The strike leader was a man called Alf Tear, and his name is largely forgotten these days. But as secretary of the Douglas branch of the Transport Union, he was in the front line. Lord Raglan's action was greeted by a huge protest meeting on the shore at Douglas, and soon afterwards, on July the 4th, the strike started on a bright, sunny morning. Workers stayed away from shops and offices and factories. Within hours, it was a case of everybody out. Douglas Gasworks was closed, and so were all the other public services, including trains and trams. Schools closed down as a result of striking parents keeping their children at home. The most violent scenes, characterised by mob savagery, were seen on South Quay, where Captain Robert Mucton, MHK for South Douglas, a declared opponent of the strike, opened his coal yard for business as usual. A crowd of baying men, women, and even children descended upon his premises. He came out and faced them, but a hail of missiles and threats sent him back into his office. The mob burst in after him and dragged him out and tried to throw him into the harbour. His life was saved by police officers who took him to the police station for his own safety. They saved his life. By the end of the day, the Isle of Man had been brought to a nearly complete standstill, and Alf Tear's strike committee were pretty much in the position of a provisional government. They had the whip hand, and they exercised it freely. When fishing boats came into harbour, they took over the landing of herrings and sold them off at low prices for the benefit of the poor people of the island. The next day was Tynwald Day, July the 5th. The soldier in Lord Raglan told him he was in an impossible situation and it was time for a strategic withdrawal. He cancelled the ceremony at St. John's, went into talks with Alf Tear and the strike committee, and agreed to restore the flour subsidy. That afternoon there was a huge concourse of people in Douglas at the Jubilee Clock, where Alf Tear stood up and shouted triumphantly, "We've got it!" The strike was over and the workers had won. Alf Tear went on to be elected a Labour MHK in 1919, and I'll be telling more of him in next week's History Man, and how he was in the forefront of the 1935 general strike as well.